It is good to be back here. We are thankful for the opportunity we have to be with you all once again, and we just hope that we can be a blessing to you this morning. Sunday school is always a little bit tougher for me to do. It's harder to think about what to bring or what to speak about here, but I do enjoy doing character studies and looking at characters of the Bible. And I know I don't really like using the word characters. We know they were real people with real lives, and those lives are given for us to learn from, either as a good example or a bad example, people that we should to imitate, to be like, or people that we should to not be like in a way. This morning we're going to look at a man named Barnabas, and I'm sure we've all heard of Barnabas before. We've heard of him, usually referred to as with Paul. Like, it's Paul and Barnabas, never Barnabas and Paul, and Barnabas is very seldom by himself. Anytime that somebody talks about Barnabas, they always bring up Paul as well. But we see in Acts chapter 4, in verse 36, that Barnabas' name was originally Joseph. And his name was changed from Joseph to Barnabas, which means son of consolation, or son of exhortation or encouragement. So, and Barnabas lived up to that name. He was a great encourager to the Lord's churches. He was a great encourager to the Lord's people. We can read about Barnabas' life, and we see that he was used in a mighty way to expand the gospel, if you will. He was played a big role in reaching the Gentiles and reaching the uttermost parts of the earth. He took missionary journeys all over the world at that time. He was a faithful man to the Lord and to the ministry. He was with Paul all the time, but he also had his own ministry as well. But oftentimes, Barnabas can be overlooked. You know, we never really think about Barnabas. We always think about Paul, you know. But in fact, Barnabas mentored Paul. Paul was one of Barnabas' disciples, if you will. Barnabas taught him the way, showed him where to go. But Paul was much more famous than Barnabas was. Paul receives much of the glory and the accolades that people, you know, think of the greatest missionary of all time. They think of Paul. They don't think of Barnabas. But in Acts chapter 11, we see something unique about Barnabas that wasn't really said about Paul. And I know Paul probably had these characteristics as well, but chapter 11 and verse 19, we see, "Now they, which were scattered abroad, the persecution that arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phinehas and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none, but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church which were in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul." And the thought of our lesson this morning comes from verse 24, where it says, "For he was a good man." We see these words following Barnabas, that Barnabas was a good man. That title was also given to Joseph Arimathea. If we remember that he was the one that begged for the body of Jesus, and they said Joseph was a good man. But those are the only two men that were noted as such in the Word of God. Now, people said that Jesus was a good man, but those were man's words, not God's. But God is calling Barnabas a good man. And every time that the Bible gives a title to such a man, we should take notice. You know, the Bible refers to Abel as righteous Abel. It refers to Enoch as a man that pleased God, to David as a man after God's own heart. Jabez, who I believe we looked at last time I was here, he was a man that was more honorable than all of his brethren. Caleb was a man that fully followed after God. And every time these titles are given, we should really take notice to why. Why were they such a person? And we should look at why Barnabas was a good man. And how could we be a good man or a good woman, a good child of God, or a good church member? There are many things we can learn about Barnabas and how to be a good man. We see, first of all, that he was a good steward. He was somebody that was faithful in his stewardship to all that he was given. In Acts chapter 4, if you want to turn back there, we're going to spend most of our time in Acts. But in Acts chapter 4 and verse 33, The Bible says, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who was, you know, was Barnabas, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite in the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. We see Barnabas being a good steward of everything that the Lord has given him. He realized that it was God that in fact gave him his home and his possessions, his finances and everything he had in life. And we see that he gave that. He sold his land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet, brought it into the church, to the storehouse, and gave selflessly and liberally. He gave all that he had. Everything he had, he gave back to God. But we see this talking about finances here, and we should. We should be good stewards of our finances, but Barnabas goes far beyond financial stewardship. We see that he gives his life, he gives his gifts, he gives his talents, and uses them for God. But we should give financially. We should be good stewards of all that we are given, whether it's a lot or a little. We should be good stewards of it. We know from the Word of God that we're just managers of God's money. The money that we have is not our own. The home that we live in is not ours. We're just using it for the glory of God. We are blessed that He chose to give us what we have to manage. We should always remember that what we have, we are blessed to have. That it is not of ourselves that we obtain these things, that God has graciously given to us. We can think of the widow and the mites. We know the account very well there, how many were giving much into the storehouse. They were casting a lot of money. But this widow, just two little mites. And how the Lord say that she gave more than everybody else because she cast in all that she had. You know, financially, that doesn't make sense. If we were to look at it, we would want somebody that was giving a lot of money. But the Lord looks at the opposite. She was giving more than anybody because she was giving all that she had. Everything she had, she was being a good steward of it for the Lord. We know from scriptures that monetary value means nothing to the Lord. It means nothing to God. He doesn't need our money. We know that He owns a cattle on a thousand hills. He has everything that this world could ever offer. He doesn't need our money. But we also know that $1 can be as a million in His hands. I think about missionaries. When we give to missions, and you know, when we give to missions to foreign lands, our money's worth a lot more than their money. You know, just a few dollars in their hands can go a lot further than they will in our hands. You know, and God always provides for His people, even when the numbers don't add up. We think of the parable of the talents. You know, we see that some gave one talent or three talents or five talents or 10 talents, whatever it was, and they were told to use them and put them to use and gain others. They were responsible to be good stewards of those talents. They were given these things. They were given this money to use and to watch over, to take care of. And they were supposed to be good stewards. And then we see when it came to the rewards, when it's time for the master to come back, those that were good stewards, those that were used those talents for the Lord and gained other talents, they were all given the same reward. That they could enter into the joy of the Lord. And they were all given, treated the same. The one with 10 talents wasn't treated any better than the one with just a few talents. They were treated the same because they were good stewards. We should be thankful for everything we have to give in. And this one's tough for me, you know. Sometimes I don't like going to work. I wake up early. I work long hours. I don't like going to my job a lot of the times. But my wife constantly reminds me that I should just be thankful that I have a job, that we are able to provide for ourselves and our families. We should be thankful for those things. We should be thankful for our homes that we live in. We should be thankful for our church and our building that we have to worship. And many churches don't have a building to come and meet together in. They meet in houses or outside. But we're blessed people. We should be good stewards of everything that we have. And that goes from our personal lives, even as a church. We should be good stewards of the church's money and use it wisely. Be good stewards of the church's building and the things that He has given us to manage over. But as we mentioned, Barnabas was more than just a steward with his finances. He was a steward with his life. If we look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, then we'll come back to Acts in a moment. But 1 Corinthians chapter 4, excuse me. Verse number 1 says, let a man so account of us, as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now we see this being written to ministers of Christ. And people could take that as being pastors or preachers. And this verse does apply to them, but it applies to everyone as well. There's application to all here. That we are to be good stewards of all that we are given. It says we are given the mysteries of God. And that's what we're supposed to be stewards of. We were given the things of God, the knowledge of things of God. We were given the knowledge of the gospel, the understanding of it. And we need to be good stewards of it. Well, we've been given this good news, the gospel, and we should use it. We should put it to use. We should share it. We should do things with it. We shouldn't just hide it for ourselves. That's what the man with one talent did in that parable, that he hid his talent. And the Lord ended up taking that talent from him and said, you were not faithful with that which you were given. But we were entrusted with the gospel of the Lord. We should share the good news, and I've used this every time that I talk about this, but as a kid, if we get something good, if our parents buy us a new bike, we want to share it with everybody. We want to tell all of our friends, look what my parents bought me, or look what they gave me. It's good news that we receive something. And here we are with the gospel of Christ, and many times we don't share it like we should. We're not good stewards of it. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We should minister one to another with the gifts that we have. And one of those gifts is the gospel. We should minister to those, share the gospel. As we should be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We should share the grace of God. And that goes with our time. We give our lives, the things that we do with our hands and our bodies and going out to witness. But we should be good stewards of our time as well. Luke 16:10 said, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. It doesn't take a lot of time to be faithful to God. And we always say, you know, I don't have time. I use that excuse a lot when it comes to working around the church or doing something. You know, I don't have time. I work long hours. I don't have time to do this. And God understands that we have to work. He tells us that we have to prepare, provide for our families and live in this world and do those things. But it doesn't take a lot of time to be faithful to God. Just the few extra minutes that we have or the time that we can spend serving God rather than watching TV or doing something else. That's all God is asking us to do, to be faithful in the least of things. We should be good stewards with our lives and our time. We see Barnabas as a good steward. He was a good man because he was a good steward. He was faithful. He was a servant of God that was a good Lord of everything that the Lord has given. And then we see in Acts chapter 9 that not only was Barnabas a good steward, he was also a good friend. He was a good friend to those around him, and we should take notice of that. We should be a good friend to those around us, our brothers and sisters in Christ and our sister churches. We should be a good friend. Acts chapter 9 and verse 19 says, and when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days when the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them, which called on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest. But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their lying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he assayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. We know this account very well. After the conversion of Saul, that he turned from his wicked ways, he was one that persecuted the Jews and hated Christ and hated the gospel. And after the Lord saved him and changed his life, and he was preaching in the synagogues, he was teaching the name of Christ, and people didn't like that very much. They knew that this was the man that persecuted them, that that bound up Christians and had them killed and imprisoned. And so they sought to kill Saul. They wanted him dead. And we see that there were a few faithful disciples there, and they took Paul and they let him down by the wall in a basket. They let him down and they let him go at night so he can run away. But then we see when he gets to Jerusalem, he gets to the place where God's people were at, and he wanted to join the disciples. He had an admiration there to serve God. But the disciples there wouldn't take him in. They were scared of him. They knew who this man was, and they were afraid that he was just fooling them or just tricking them. And they didn't want to befriend them. They didn't believe that he was, in fact, a disciple of God. But in verse 27, it says, "But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus." We see that Barnabas befriended Paul when nobody else would. When nobody else wanted to be a good friend to Saul, Barnabas stood up and took him under his wing and decided to be a good friend. We see that Barnabas took him to the inner circle. He took him to the innermost disciples there and brought him into the group. It showed him to the, if you will, the great missionaries or the great people of the church. That's who he brought Saul and introduced them to. He took him under his wing. He was a good friend to Saul, even though nobody else would. And then in chapter 15, we see that Barnabas was not only a good friend to Saul, he was also a good friend to Mark. In Acts 15 and verse 36, it says, "In some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city that we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, went not with them to work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God." Barnabas was a good friend to Mark. We see the situation that Mark must have been on a missionary journey with Paul and Barnabas before. Because Paul says he did not want to take Mark because in their time of need, Mark abandoned them. He wasn't stood strong in the faith, he left. He faltered, he wavered in a little bit. But we see here Barnabas being a good friend of Mark, kind of sticking up for him, saying he's changed. He made a mistake, as we all do, but I believe that he is ready. He can do this again. And even when it caused a contention here, and we see a silly argument here, and a lot of times that's what gets between God's people, are silly arguments. We argue with each other instead of looking to the greater good of the Lord. But they were arguing, and Paul didn't want to take Mark with him. He decided to take Silas and go their own ways, but Barnabas stood up for Mark and took him with him. Now, from this point on, we hear a lot about Paul and Silas and their missionary journeys. We don't hear much about Barnabas and Mark. But later on, we see Paul asking Mark to come and visit him when he was in prison in Rome. So all of a sudden, Paul wants nothing to do with Mark, and now he wants Mark to come and visit him later on in life. So we can kind of infer that Mark and Barnabas' missionary journey was successful, that Mark proved himself in a way. And it started with Barnabas being a good friend. We should be a good friend to God's people. Proverbs 18:24 says, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." And of course, that is speaking of Christ. That we need to be friends, and there's that friend that sticketh closer than a brother, that Christ is never going to leave us. I have three brothers, and growing up, we fought a lot. We've wrestled, we fought, we've bloody noses, black eyes, you can name it. We've had our share of arguments, but I know if I have to call on one of them, they will be there in a heartbeat. I can't imagine how many times I've had to call on my brother, who I fought with more than anybody, to work on my car or to pick me up when my car broke down. And he was always there every step of the way. But there's a friend that's even closer than that in Jesus Christ. And we need to use Christ as our example to live by. And I love the thought of looking at Christ, our example, just looking at his life and looking what he did and just using him as our example. He's a good friend. And we should be as well. We learn about David and Jonathan and their friendship. And I'm teaching a boys' Sunday school class at church. And we're going through the life of David. And we're about to come to the part with David and Jonathan. And how good of a friends they were. And how Jonathan looked after David even when his dad wanted to kill him. But they were best friends. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. That's what we to be like. A good friend sharpens us. They keep us intact. They make us better in the Lord. They give us the strength. That's where we get our sharpness from. If Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. There's strength in numbers that we've all heard. If it's just one of us standing up for the Lord, we'll easily be defeated if we're not strong and rooted. But when God's people band together, there's nothing they can't accomplish. And we got to hurry here. But the last thing we see in that Barnabas, he was a good man because he was a good steward. He was a good friend. But we also see that Barnabas was a good missionary. In Acts chapter 11, in verse 22 here, we see, it says, and tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Verse 26, and when he had found him, this is when he went to go seek for Saul. It says, when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. We see the church there was sending Barnabas out as a missionary. He was going to Antioch to preach the gospel and to encourage those and exhort them in many ways. We see immediately that Barnabas went and got Paul. He got somebody to help him and somebody that he can train and mentor. And he began to preach and began their journey there. He began to disciple the people. We see they received the names of Christian at Antioch because of the work they were doing and the effect of it. The people saw that Barnabas, he was like Christ. He was acting like Christ. And he was showing the people how to live. That's what a good missionary does. We know that Barnabas went with Paul on his famous first and second missionary journeys. But then again, it's always Paul and Barnabas. It's never Barnabas and Paul. But he's faithful. He was with Paul every step of the way. The gospel was spread to many different nations. Many were saved. Churches were started. People, you know, devoted their lives to Christ. And then again, he took Mark on a journey when nobody else would. And that's when in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul requests Timothy to bring Mark. He wants to see him again because that journey was successful. Paul also states that Mark is now profitable to him for the ministry. That somewhere along that journey that Barnabas and Mark took, Mark became profitable back to Paul for the ministry. He was a good missionary. We're called to be missionaries. We're called to go out and spread the gospel. It's not just the job of the so-called missionaries that we support. We all need to be missionaries in our communities. The Great Commission was given to the church, not just a select few. It was given to the apostles. Matthew 9, we learn that the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And then we're told to pray that the God sends laborers into the harvest. We shouldn't just pray for other people, but we should have the attitude of, here am I, send me. Pray that we send ourselves into the harvest. And then in chapter 11 and verse 23, it says, who, when he came out, had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. We see that Barnabas was a good encouragement to the people. He lived up to his name. He encouraged them in the Lord. He lifted their spirits. Verse 29 tells us, then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send their relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. We see that Barnabas was a good delegate for the Lord. He was a good ambassador, if you will, for Christ. We see here that Barnabas was sent out to take money to the poor, to help the church at Jerusalem. They were in financial troubles, and he was a delegate there to bring them the money that the church at Antioch had raised up. In Acts chapter 15, we see another argument about the churches here. The church at Jerusalem believed that the Gentiles needed to be circumcised, that they needed to follow the law. And we see this caused a great strife and contention in the church and a division in it. The church was getting ready to split over this issue, whether or not Gentiles need to be held to the same law. We see in Acts 15 that Barnabas once again was sent out to sort it all out. He was sent there to keep the peace, to be a delegate of Christ. He went out there to represent Christ. And that's what he did. He told them about the new law and how we're now under grace, that they didn't have to be circumcised or follow that law anymore. We're told to let our light shine before men. And as a church, we should be doing the work of Christ in our community and other places. Our light should be shining. We are the body of Christ. We are his delegate, his ambassador. And we should act like it. Excuse me. Psalms 37:23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Psalm 112:5 says, a good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Then Matthew 12:35 says, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. A good man bringeth out good things. We should desire to be a good man or a good woman, a good servant of Christ. And we have Barnabas given that title of a good man. And how great of a title that is. I hope one day that God will look down and say that Kevin Humphreys was a good man. That he lived up to that. He was a good man for my ministry and to my example. We have the example of Barnabas here. You know, I encourage you to read. We went through it quickly. But just look at the life of Barnabas and look at the many things that he accomplished by the grace of God and how he earned that title as a good man. Next time you come across the Bible saying that so-and-so was a good man or so-and-so was this or that, take notice and see why the Lord tells me that is true. We'll dismiss and take a short break. Dear the Father, Lord, we thank you for the day that you have given, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity we have to be in your house this morning. We thank you for our sister churches, Lord, and their services well played. Just bless them and bless their preachers and pastors as they prepare the message, Lord. We pray just be with our sister churches without pastors. Pray just strengthen them, keep them standing truth for the faith, and that you provide their man for them, Lord. We just pray for those that are among us that are going through various trials in their lives. Pray just comfort them in a mighty way. And I pray that you help us to use this example of Barnabas to be a good man, to be a good servant for you, and just to fully devote our lives unto you, Lord. We ask you to just bless the remainder of our service. Pray you just draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen.